Are you ready to dip in?
Welcome to the Divine Intervention Podcast. I'm Freya.
And I'm Holly.
And we're here to guide you through spirituality, taboo topics, and everything in between.
We'll dip our toes into some topics and dive deeper into others. Nothing is off the table.
This is a safe space for you, our listeners, to learn, grow, be inspired, and open your heart and mind.
Get ready. Let's take the plunge together.
Welcome back to the Divine Intervention Podcast, episode 12.
You may have noticed, dippers, that we had a little break week last week. Sorry about that. It was a little bit unintentional, but you know, you just have to flow with life sometimes and what it throws at you.
Absolutely. So we are reporting live from Bali as we speak. I've arrived, Holly was already here, and we all know that it can be a little bit stressful sometimes going on a holiday. Ironically, when you get a little bit of stress before you go, so many things that you feel like you have to arrange and prepare, and that is exactly what we're going to be talking about today and just our experience with traveling in general. But thank you so much for tuning in again, and once again our apologies. We will make sure to have a fresh episode for you every week from now on again.
Sounds like a plan. Okay, so let's get into our astro news for the week and our card of the week. So Freya, please enlighten us on the tarot wisdom for this week.
So the card of the week is the Nine of Cups, and I feel like my current state really came through this card. So the Nine of Cups is linked to the water element and our emotions and feelings, and Nine of Cups is one of the happiest cards of the tarot. This card stands for a state of fulfillment. You feel like your cups are overflowing with love and joy and kindness, and everything around you seems to be going really well and is beautiful. And that is exactly how I feel right now. We're in beautiful Bali. Everything is good. We're able to relax. Another nice element of this card is that it's actually called the wish card. If you pull this card during a tarot reading and you have a big wish, you want something to happen for you, this card is a very welcome sign that your wish may very well come true if you set your intention right now. So this is your sign to maybe pick up your journal, write down your intentions, and wish for them to come true.
Beautiful. I love this energy. And with this card linking to the water element, it is interesting because we've just transited out of Cancer season. And so that's a water sign, very emotional. And we've now moved into a fire season because we've just moved into Leo. So the sun's in Leo now. And so this energy affects all of the collective in the way that it gives us the freedom to express ourselves fully, to be our true self, to be big and bold, and really embrace a more creative, artistic side to ourselves. Leo energy is often known to be very in your face, very attention seeking, very dramatic, but Leo energy is also super, super creative. So this is a time to really lean into who your true artistic self is and how you express yourself. And that might be in the way that you dress. It might be in the hobbies and activities that you undertake. It might be how you conduct yourself in the workplace. It might be the types of friends you surround yourself with. So while the sun is in Leo, which is approximately the next 3 to 4 weeks, really lean into this, really unapologetically be yourself. This transit has literally just happened, so at the very beginning of Leo season, so plenty of time ahead to really embrace this energy.
Definitely, and linking that to the card, this is your time to wish for what you really want, maybe what you've been hiding from other people, or you have been too scared to put out there that this is actually a goal or a dream of yours. Embrace that Leo energy and really go after what you want, whether that is wishing for it, a true intention setting, or taking active steps towards it.
And really find that inner fire, because Leo is a fire sign and fire energy goes after what they want. So find that fire inside you and just go for it.
Absolutely. Get things done. That is the week ahead.
The week ahead.
So today we're going to dip into travel. As we said before, Holly and I are both in Bali at the moment. I am here for a holiday and Holly is here for 4 to 5 months to do some self-exploration, which I've done a little bit of in the past on some longer trips. We just wanted to start with how to get ready for a trip like this, and then probably both mentally as organizationally. Because both of them can really, take a little bit of your energy in the weeks leading up to it. I feel like work-wise, it's always a challenge when you go away. Because it feels like you have to squeeze everything in for the time that you are not there. And it's, even if you have a colleague looking after your work for a little while, still you have to inform them on what might be going on. You're not sure, but you will have to inform them. And it just feels like you have to scramble to get everything done. And that deadline of leaving is just approaching faster and faster. So that's definitely something that I struggled with over the last weeks.
Yeah, for sure. I think work-wise, there's always some form of prep to be done. Actually, not just work-wise, all aspects. There's always prep to be done before you leave, whether you're leaving for 3 days or 3 months or three years. There's always prep to be done. First of all, I just want to say, how fun is it meeting up with your friends overseas?
I know. It's so funny because it is one, it's the nicest thing because you're in the most beautiful environment and you get to have these lovely experiences together. But it's also so funny seeing someone that you know in the environment back home in a different environment. Even more so when you just randomly run into people on the other side of the world. That is the most random thing. And you're almost looking at this person like, what are you doing here? But then you are there too.
For sure. I mean, like if you don't travel, leave your home country with that friend, it's kind of like, well, like you're a familiar face, you're from home, but you're over here.
Yes. So yeah. So funny, and with different nationalities as well. So obviously I'm Dutch, and I remember when I was still living in the Netherlands and I would go on a holiday overseas, it would literally be a little bit to escape like the day-to-day life, and especially the weather in the Netherlands, of course. And sometimes you would end up in a place and there would be so many Dutch people around you, and I would almost be a little bit like, no, I do not want this.
I wanted a change.
I do not want to be able to hear, like, overhear conversations and constantly be in the same culture, really, because people from different countries have different customs. And yeah, you could just pick them out. If I'm at the airport, I can just tell from a mile away, I'm like, yep, that's a Dutch person. You know, there's just these typical traits. But now that I live in Australia, in the place where I'm staying, there's actually a fair bit of Dutch people, which does not surprise me. It's such a typical place that Dutch people would pick.
That's so interesting.
Isn't that interesting? It's hard for me to put the finger on it and to say, this is why Dutch people love going here. I feel like because it's very aesthetically pleasing, it's beautiful location, it has everything you need, so it's like convenient. It has a restaurant, a pool, everything is just so well catered for. And I don't know, I just feel like it's such a Dutch place to go. And when I arrived, at the ladies at reception said to me, oh, you're Dutch. Dutch people are our favorite. We have the most Dutch people, like, out of all people. Dutch people come here. And I was like, yeah, that makes total sense.
That's crazy because I feel like, just like, you know, I come from Australia. So it's obviously a really quite a big country.
Yeah.
Geographically, not necessarily population wise. But I feel like of all the countries in the world, I wouldn't necessarily think that somewhere like the Netherlands would have such a concentrated, like, customer base at, like, you know, a random villa resort in Bali.
Dutch people are everywhere. Everywhere you go, you will find Dutch people, which is something that I really love. I feel like from historically, we just have this explorative nature. And I feel like we still have that. You will always run into Dutch people all over the world. And now that I live in Australia, I actually really like it when I run into Dutch people. Or when you're just sitting having breakfast and you hear the table next to you speaking Dutch. It is funny now, though, because I would say I speak Dutch with my sister and with my parents, but with my partner, I will speak English, of course. And often when our partners, me and my sister's partners are around, we will speak English because that is, you know, the right thing to do so that everyone can understand the conversation. So sometimes I'm speaking in English, but then there's Dutch people around me and I'm like, oh, they do not realize that I'm Dutch. They do not realize that I'm Dutch. What if they start saying something in Dutch? And I'm just like, oh my God, I can understand what you're saying. So sometimes, I mean, I feel like we have to, that's my sister, we have to like drop a little, you know, Dutch word here and there so that people around know like, okay, you know.
So the people around maybe don't start having a private conversation exactly. Or start talking about you.
Or start talking about you because, you know, that's most people in the world, but Dutch people definitely, they can definitely have a little bit of judgment on them and, you know, say something and you will actually be able to hear it, which is just, isn't it so funny?
Yeah, that's so funny. It reminds me of 3 years ago. Yeah, four years ago. Oh my gosh, time flies. I was solo traveling in Europe and I wanted to go see Croatia. And so I thought, you know what? I was single. I was wanting sunshine. I really wanted to do lots of swimming. So I thought, you know what? Let's book sail Croatia.
Right.
So I did. And I had the best time. But I didn't expect to be on a boat with 30 other Australians.
Yeah.
So like yes. I got there and then solo traveling, I got paired with another girl who was solo and she was Australian and literally 99% of the boat were Aussies. Oh, and I was like, you know, it was obviously comfortable for me having been traveling by myself in Greece and like other European countries by myself and having like a bit of dose of home being surrounded by so many Aussies. But in the same breath, I was like, oh, I really wanted to make some connections with foreign friends, not necessarily other Aussies. So it's just funny.
Isn't it interesting how we both have that? You know, we go overseas and we travel. It's almost like we try to escape something. We try to escape our daily routine. And yeah, like, people from your own country. but there is that tiny bit of exactly what you said. I don't want to call it disappointment, but it's like, I want more. I want to meet different people, see different cultures, different religions. And that is obviously what travel really is having a very different experience than what you would have at home in your day-to-day life, which is interesting that we long for that.
Yeah, I think we want that cultural change, and then we have that expectation. There's that word again, expectation.
Expectation.
We have that expectation that we'll be immersed in a different culture, and so I guess you find a little bit of disappointment, if not comfort at the same time, if you're surrounded by people that are very familiar and comfortable to you, like Aussies for me or Dutch for you.
Definitely. I do feel like it depends on the environment where you are as well. Like here in Bali, yes, you will feel comfortable even without Australian people around you because the majority of the people here will speak English. I feel like if you would be somewhere where no one, let's say remote area of China, and no one would speak your, I don't know if they speak English, I don't know, but let's say they don't, then it would probably feel like, oh, yes, here's an Australian person. I can actually talk in English and I will be understood.
Yeah. I can understand how that would be something that would be a welcome familiarity if you're traveling somewhere that's remote and not speaking your language, especially even after you've longed for that cultural change. It is a shock to the system.
It is.
Even just being in a new environment, it is a shock to the system, just like getting used to it. And especially for someone like me who's on a longer trip, not just a holiday, it's hard sometimes adapting to these new environments to then like start finding your life routine in a new environment. It's hard to feel settled.
Definitely. And it's a question to what parts of your usual routine are you going to bring into your routine overseas when you're in a new location? Because often you find that the life that you have back home and the routine that you have doesn't necessarily fit into the same environment. For example, back home, if you would be working, normally maybe you would work between 7 and 3 or 8 and 4 or just during the day, because often there's not that exploration element. There's not that new thing. You know everything around you. You know your environment. You don't need to get up at the crack of dawn to see this new shiny thing, or you don't need to plan life around that. You don't have, well, we're very lucky to have beautiful beaches, but you don't have a new beach that you want to explore before the sun goes down. So while you're overseas, it's also trying to find that new routine and seeing what works and what doesn't work. And it can be a lot to deal with because you have and a new environment and a new routine, new places to see, new people around you. Even the food is different. Like your body probably feels different. Your mind will feel different. And settling into that can be quite tricky.
Yeah, definitely. And I think this is all really interesting pros and cons to traveling outside of the comfort of your country.
Yes.
But let's rewind a little bit and have a chat again about the preparation for a trip like this. So, leaving your home country behind and heading off on an adventure takes a fair bit of prep. And I mean, it's all very fresh for me still because I've now been in Bali for, I think I'm in my fifth week. Yeah, this is week five for me. And so there's a lot involved when you leave home. I mean, I had to pack up my house, put everything into storage to head off, which is not uncommon for people who are traveling for extended periods of time. But yeah, there's a lot of things to do in terms of like getting all your affairs in order. But generally, I feel you've got to prep in regards to figuring out how much stuff to bring, but also, I guess, mentally and emotionally prepping yourself to leave. And so the last like 2 to 3 weeks before you actually leave your home country, I feel like is a bit of a whirlwind because you're like tying off loose ends. As we touched on earlier in the pod, you've got to sort your work stuff out. Because the first 2 weeks of my traveling, I actually had a holiday. I had a break from work, which was super, super nice. But there's still like prep involved in that. But I think for me, the biggest prep was probably mental and emotional, just kind of getting my head around the changes that were about to happen, coming to terms with leaving my life behind, my life as I knew it. I mean, everyone's different. Some people adapt to change really well. Some people are quite spontaneous and quite impulsive. And I mean, I wish I was that gal, but I am not. From an astrological point of view, I have so much fixed energy, which means that I do best in structure and routine. And when changes happen, I don't adapt that well. The Aquarius in me like really wants the change, wants something new, wants to have new experience, wants to talk to new people and everything. But the Taurus in me and all the fixed energy in me is just like freaking out at change. So I'm kind of my own worst enemy in that regard. What about you, Freya? How do you feel about prepping to head overseas?
Yes, I feel like there is a difference between going on a long trip, more traveling style, and going on a holiday. And then I also feel that there's a difference in going to a destination where you have already been and going to a place where you have not been before. So I've mentioned this in previous podcasts when I went on to my big trip around Southeast Asia and then Australia. I went for 6-7 months, I think. Well, I never came back. So I'm technically still on this trip.
I love that.
For 3 years now, technically. I think I planned ahead to go at least 4 months. And it was open after that. I was going to see how I was going to feel, but everything was open. And like I said before, I didn't have anything to come back to. I feel like booking the ticket is the first thing. And that is still mentally, you don't really realize what you have just done. Or at least that's how I felt. I was like, okay, I booked the ticket. Back then, I planned for about 9 or 10 months in advance to go because I needed to save up money and in sort of in a nice way say goodbye to my job and this and that. However, I did not plan to not come back. So that definitely had its consequences because I still had my car back home and all these things and I had to deal from that from overseas, which made it so much harder. But mentally, I felt like, and I still feel the same way, you can't prepare enough. I don't think I will ever feel like I'm fully prepared to go. It's just like you just do whatever you can do. You do your best. And then there comes a moment where you have to get in the car to go to the airport. And that's it. You know, that's all you can do.
Literally, you kind of go, well, I've got my passport. And
exactly.
If I've forgotten anything else, I can sort it out.
Exactly. And also the feeling of, well, you know, I've tried my hardest. This is what it is now, whatever. I'm just going to let it flow. So yeah, I feel like I adapt quite well to change, But it's hard for me because I'm prone to getting attached to certain situations. For me, a big shift has happened when I moved to Australia, to the other side of the world. Whereas I feel like people that are listening to this that also have moved to the other side of the world or that have traveled a lot to a lot of different places, your heart will never be fully in one place. You will always be spread out. One place, you realize that home is not a place. It's where you are. And it's mostly dependent on who you are with, or at least for me it is. For me, home is wherever Dolan is and my dog Winston is. That's my little family. That's where home is. And I feel now at this stage in life really confident, like we can go anywhere. It's fine as long as we are together. Because I will never feel, my heart is never 100% full because I can never have everything that I love in one place anymore. This kind of sounds a little bit sad. Obviously, your heart can feel full of joy and I feel great. I'm very happy with my life decisions. But I will always miss that person. And, you know, and unfortunately, you can't just put everyone in your pocket and take them with you. I wish you could, but you can't. So that is sort of a part of traveling that I don't think you can mentally prepare for if you go on a very extended trip and if you end up loving traveling. Because sometimes it's not always what you think it's going to be. I've had plenty of people say to me over the years, especially in the beginning, moving to Australia, seeing my stories, oh my God, you live in paradise, you're living the dream, it's amazing. I'm so inspired by you, I'm so jealous of you, I wish I could do that. And I so appreciate those people saying that because it gives me a lot of, you know, like love, and I feel great when people say that, and I feel good to be able to inspire people in that way. But you only see the great things. The moments that you're in your room alone, crying, super sick, not feeling well, missing home, when things are not working out, then nobody sees that. You're not going to put that on Instagram. Or maybe you are, but not many people do that or share that with everyone. So traveling is, for me, uncomfortable.
100%.
Yes. Definitely
uncomfortable. We love the travel, but it's still uncomfortable.
So this is obviously where the growth element comes in. You have to go through these uncomfortable moments in order to grow, because otherwise it's just packing up your life and moving it to a different location. You have to learn how to adapt to your environment, and you have to learn how to be uncomfortable and be okay with being uncomfortable. Even on a trip, it won't always, like, life is made of highs and lows, even when you go on holiday. And this is where expectation comes in. Especially with a short holiday, I feel like I can really, really get in that mood because you have a time limit. And I think that you went a little bit through this as well when your partner came with you at the first part of your Balinese trip. When you are on a time limit and you're in a new environment, this thing falls, at least it falls over me. And I'm like, oh, I need to see everything. I need to do everything. I need to feel freaking great every day. I need to get everything done. I cannot waste a second. Before I know it, I'm going back to working and my life focus will be somewhere else, like feeling that you need to make the most of it. Do you resonate with that?
100%. And throughout my life, I've always been that on the go traveler. So it's like research the area, you know, make the most of every day. And yeah, God forbid that you get home and you didn't get to see things or you didn't get to do things. So it really is about finding that balance between making the most of your trip and seeing the things you want to see and doing the things you want to do, but also being mindful in there and taking it slow some days, you know, slowing the pace right back and enjoying yourself so that maybe you can then arrive back home feeling more relaxed if you have just gone on a holiday and you're not just in extended travel mode.
And maybe sit a little bit with your own feelings as well. Why do I feel this expectation? Is it because other people are going to ask me, oh, have you been here? And I want to be able to say, yes, I've been there. Is it because of that? Or is it truly because you have a very adventurous spirit and you want to see everything? Just think about what is the ideal travel situation for me, because it will be different from person to person. Whether it's holiday or it's travel, it doesn't really matter. You just have to figure out what you really like and how you can get the most out of it.
Exactly. And is it that you really want to immerse yourself in that country's culture? Or is it that you've gone to a destination that has a lot of outdoor activities and you want to like do all of those activities? Or are you quite money conscious and it's taken a lot of saving for you to go on this trip so that you want to get your money's worth?
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like that this is probably a big thing for a lot of people. And I know that I have been like this a lot in the past on holidays. I remember traveling with my sister and she wanted a very relaxed holiday at times and she wanted to relax in the room and watch TV. And I was like, oh my God, I think we were in Thailand at the time. And I was like, oh my gosh, I want to get out there and explore. I want to go to the markets and go to the beach and like be in this new destination. We were having some conflict around it because her version of being on the holiday, she just wanted to chill, be on her own timeline. And I wanted to get out and explore. So I definitely think it depends where you're at in your life, what kind of break you want, and what kind of person you are.
Absolutely. And at the end of the day, you are going on this trip for you, and you should do what makes you feel the best and not what everyone else wants to do. And that is something that I feel like you need to honor, even if you're traveling with your partner, with your friends, with your family. Try and really do what makes you happy and what you want to do so that you get the most out of your trip. We know that many people nowadays love traveling and love going away. And because we've both done a little bit of that, we were thinking it would be cool to maybe tap into our biggest takeaway from our travel so far and also our biggest tip. So for me, my biggest takeaway from traveling is that this is your way to grow and develop. It will just spiritually and mentally make you so much more resilient, and it will make you find yourself so much more. There is a beauty also in not doing much. That is my biggest takeaway.
It's I love good. That.
Yeah. I'm African, never work again. But it's so good to, even when you're young, because I remember I was 24 when I went on my big trip, and you know, some older people were saying to me like, how can you want a break from working? Girl, you've been working for 2-3 years. I've been working for 50 years, you know?
Oh, I hate that.
But some older generations feel that way. And I remember, no, it was like the greatest thing I've ever done, because it's so good to let your mind breathe, to just not have it filled up with your usual environment, the things you have to do. Just to have nothing on your to-do list is just pure bliss, because it allows room to think about who you are and what you like. And new environments will trigger that as well. You can really explore new things and see, yes, I like this and I do not like that. So for me, my biggest takeaway would definitely be personal growth and spiritual growth is definitely linked to traveling. My biggest tip would be, or advice is, do not put too much expectation on your trip and do not expect it to be amazing at all times. Try early to embrace that you're going to have highs and lows and try to accept that. And accepting it's hard, because I've definitely been in situations overseas where I felt so horrible and so sick. And look, all you want to do is run to your comfort zone, be at home. But it's about sticking it out. It's not about denying that it's shit, because it is just horrible. But it's living through that and seeing that good things come and go and bad things come and go as well, usually.
Yeah, so good, Freya. I feel like mine are probably going to be quite similar to yours. It's hard not to, because my biggest takeaway from travel as well is the personal growth and the spiritual growth, along with fun.
I love that.
Even though the lows are just as real as the highs, just like you were speaking about, travel is so fun to me. And I feel like I definitely have an adventurous spirit. And that is what my spirit and soul crave, is getting away from the norm and having that adventure. So I think my biggest takeaway is that there is something to be said for getting out of your usual environment.
Absolutely.
Whether it feeds your adventurous spirit, whether it just gives you that time and space to have some clarity, to have a break, and whether your break looks like
I don't know, laying on a daybed in Fiji for 7 days, just having a literal break from your normal world, or whether it's just having a break from the way your life looks, you know, in terms of living and working somewhere else. And maybe if you're used to the countryside, being in the hustle bustle of a city, or if you're used to the fast paced life of a city, going somewhere that's much slower paced. I think there's something to be said for changing it up.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it can be such a big confidence booster as well. Like if you take yourself out of your usual environment and into a new environment, realizing that you are okay, and that you can arrange for your own needs in a different environment, is just such a confidence booster.
Definitely. And I think the takeaway here is as well that you get to know yourself better. And I think you said that before, Freya, but putting yourself in different scenarios, putting yourself in adversity at times, challenges, it forces you to react and behave and adapt in ways that you don't normally, that you're not normally faced with at home. And so you learn shit about yourself. So
love it.
Yeah.
That's so my what about the biggest tip?
The biggest tip, the first one that just springs into mind is just do it.
Love it.
Don't overthink it and just do it. And my next one is quite practical, but it's pack light. And the Taurus in me really struggles to pack light because I want to bring all the creature comforts, but less is more. You don't need very much. Even if you don't have a very big budget, you can buy what you've forgotten when you're over here. You can buy your toothbrush. You can buy a travel adapter. Whatever you've forgotten, you can find here. So really try not to stress out in the packing phase. So that is one of my biggest tips.
Love that. All right, Dippers, that was it for episode 12. We chatted a little bit about traveling and we will have a brand new episode for you next week. Still from Bali.
Still from Bali. I loved this episode. Just like a little mini dip the toes into travel whilst we are traveling here. And again, I just want to say that traveling and meeting up with friends is so amazing. Getting out of your environment is so amazing. And yeah, I love that Dip is currently on tour in Bali.
Dip on tour in Bali. Bali reporting live again soon.
Well, Dippers, we can't wait to see you again next week and fill you in again about what we've been up to in Bali and dip our toes into another new topic.
Yes, until our paths align again.
We'll see you at the next dip.